Well, good morning, everyone. Paul Harmon here, pastor of Hope Chapel. Welcome to Hope Chapel. And I want to just say I'm so thrilled we will be having summer camp. We are naturally going so much digital with the self-quarantine and things that are happening. We're learning to do kind of ministry differently, but we're doing it, and it's fantastic. Well, I want to highlight, first of all, thank you who are joining us online. This is a live stream service, so everything that happens here is in real time. Isn't that great? So I just want to welcome you and thank you. So many of you have already reached out to us who are following me on Twitter or saying, hey, I'm going to see what's happening at Hope Chapel. And for you who are involved and have been engaged over the many miles and many weeks, I want to thank you for that as well. You're going to see that our sermon notes are going to be up on the screen. Later on, they'll be provided through our website. And for you who are here, thank you. If you are here for the first time, we're grateful for that. You might want to take your smartphone out and take a picture of the code that's right up front. You'll see today's message. We're doing a touchless kind of environment here today, so that's important for us. But isn't it great? I still have my paper Bible, and I want to encourage you. Let's get our Bibles on out. Would you, where you're at, get ready, get a hold of that Bible. It's a good thing to always use a Bible on Sunday. Don't you think that's helpful? If there's ever a day of the week I'm going to use my Bible, it's on Sunday. Or go ahead and check out your smartphone. I hope that you've downloaded your Bible as well. Well, let me just try something. I had a little preliminary conversation before we went live with cue cards, if you know what I'm talking about. My jokes haven't been all that prevalently funny because it helps to have a live audience. Let's give it a try here. But I heard a cute story about a couple who invited a large group for dinner. And when they're sitting around the table, the mother decided to ask the six-year-old, honey, why don't you go ahead and say the blessing for the food? She said, well, Mom, I don't know what to say. She said, well, sweetie, just say what you've heard mother say. So everybody bowed their heads, and the young girl went off and said, dear Lord, why in the heck did I invite all these people for dinner? Hello. Cue card. Yeah, you were really right. It worked. Thank you. But let's go ahead and let's just pray now and ask the Lord's help in our message. Father, thank you. Because we know there are things for us to receive. And that, Lord, only by your Spirit, regardless of where we're at, where we're situated, whatever time zone we're in, or even those that will watch and engage this message later on, Lord, speak to our hearts. It is you that we want to hear from. So remove me from the message, and let's see Jesus, what your word has for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you know, this is our third part on our message, which is a sermon series entitled Resolving Anger. But today's message is that third part, and it is the resolution to resolve anger. So that's important. We're going to make a resolution. When you kind of like, hey, I'm going to resolve myself to make sure I'm going to handle anger properly. I'm not going to let this thing called an emotion. We realize that anger is neither right nor wrong. It's an emotional reaction, to usually to an irritation. But it's really what we do with that anger that causes it to be either right or wrong. So resolution to resolve anger. I'm in Matthew chapter 5. It's the first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5. Last time we were together, we were taking a look at Matthew chapter 5. We were looking at peacemaker, following in my Father's steps. So thank you. So many of you took our peace symbols and away you went as peacemakers. I'm grateful for that. Hearing some good reports about you kind of like taking a look at those 60s and 70s looks. Way to go. We're grateful. And as we look here today, we're dealing with what Jesus is saying with regards to resolution or reconciling with somebody that you have situation with. Let's look here. I'm in Matthew chapter 5, and we're looking with verse 23 and verse 24. I'm in the New King James. If you have a different translation, that's perfect. But let's go ahead, just follow along with me. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way first, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Now, it's interesting to the Lord that he's so interested in having relationships not be broken. So he's saying here, when you bring your gift to the altar and there remember. Now, I don't know how you land in your quiet time, and I call it quiet time with God. Some may say it's the devotion with the Lord, but whenever I approach the Lord, it's often when I remember things. Usually it's like, oh, okay, that I'm feeling the Holy Spirit's leading. That's how I'm going to pray because that's on my heart right now. It's not so much a disruption. It's like, okay, let's take care of it. Let's give it to God. As you bring your gift to the altar. So it's really, it's a sacred time now. And who would you think would remind you, hey, remember that your brother has aught against you. Then he says, first, leave your altar there or your gift at the altar and go reconcile to your brother. And then come back and offer your gift. And now, that just shows you how earnestly God wants to have relationships put together and built well. Well, as we look here, three reminders about when we're angry. On our notes, I want to encourage you, if you can, we'll have Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27 available. But it is worth noting here some reminders as we become angry. We're going to just look at a lot of points. We're going to flow with that because our ultimate direction is handling conflict next time we're together. But I'm in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, and you can see it on the overhead now. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So these are some reminders. I like Ephesians chapter 4. There's a lot of put off the old, put on the new. That's important when we deal with that. You're going to put off lying. Let's now everybody speak the truth. You're going to put off stealing. Now everybody work with their hands so you have something to give. And I think it's worth noting. I was just kind of going over this chapter this morning. And it's worth noting because in Ephesians chapter 4, again, verse 17 and verse 18, it talks about be careful not to let your thoughts become darkened and being alienated from the life of God. If you were to just note, if you're making notes, you may want to check out verse 17 and verse 18. Don't let your thoughts be darkened. Don't work in your ignorance. It will remove, you'll be alienated from the life of God. Now, when that deals in a situation like that, it's helping us because alienation means you're excluded from the life of God. Now, I just want to highlight that as we talk about just anger, often people say, well, you know what? I don't need to hear that. I don't need to really work with that. We kind of stop learning. We stop growing. And I find that the older we get in Jesus, the more humble we are, the more teachable we are. It's important for us because the scripture is saying, don't alienate yourself from the life of God. People say, man, I'm just not close to God anymore like I used to be. What happened? We find we are not really into the word as much as we were. We don't really consider fellowship. And though we know that we're kind of distant because of mandates on our state, we really don't feel the need to be with other Christians. And we realize, how come I feel like I'm excluded from the things of God? So we always want to respond to what the Lord has for us. I love it when Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, 29, hey, come unto me if you're weary and heavy laden. Really come learn from me because I'm humble and meek. And learn from me. You'll have rest for your soul. So what am I saying? If you're 80 years of age, and you've been walking with the Lord a long time, you're not stuck in your ways anymore. You're not proud or set in your ways. You're humble and you're teachable. I find that with people that are really close to God. It's like, man, I'm glad I'm hearing from God. I'm in the presence of the Lord. So when we look here at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 again, we're looking at a couple of things because Scripture says there's a specific amount of time to be angry. So when we deal with that, it says, go ahead and be angry. All right. But then it says, let's note three things, and I'm going to cite them on our minutes of our points here for a moment. Number one, do not sin. If you're going to be angry, do not sin, Ephesians 4:26 says. Number two, resolve anger before the day is really completed or ends. So let's just say you have 24 hours to get that thing resolved. Let's move on with your life. Let's get rid of that. It'd be great. It's like, yeah, I was angry about that, but I'm sure glad we worked it out. Because if we don't resolve it, if there's ever a motivation for it, number three, do not open the door for the devil. Now, I didn't say that. The scripture says that, nor give place to the devil. It's like rolling out the red carpet because he just wants to steal your joy. He wants to rip you off and kill and destroy relationships. That's really the unresolved issue of anger, how it just works in that regard. Do you know the first two questions in Scripture had to deal with broken relationships? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, God comes on into the garden. Adam, where are you? It's amazing. First question, where are you, Adam? And we used to have some great just cruising side by side in the garden. Now Adam's hiding. Who is he hiding from? Satan? No. He's hiding from God, the one who could really kind of resolve the issue with him and provide forgiveness. Second question came in Genesis chapter 4, verse 9 again. So isn't that, don't you love numerology in Scripture? Genesis 3, 9, Genesis 4, 9. The second question there, God comes in and remember Cain and Abel, we were there a while back about how anger kicked into the fan and blew things up. But God says, where is your brother Abel? Another broken relationship. What he was saying was, hey, how did you resolve the anger we were talking about? Did you handle it properly? Where's your brother? When I take a look at those two questions, when you and I face God, Almighty God, and it will happen as sure as the sun will rise tomorrow, we'll be before the Lord, and he'll probably ask all of us, hey, where were you all those years? And secondly, he'll come along and say, where's your family and friends I gave you? Ah, those questions could really come about in such a way, we have to be careful about that. So we're looking to resolve anger. Let's take a look now, three roadblocks to resolving anger, three roadblocks. Let's lay that out because, like, man, I want to be a more mellow, workable guy, gal. Here we go. The first one is our ego. Now, it's hard for us to open up and say we were wrong. It's just part of that. So much is in, especially I find with Christians, that we really kind of equate with God being with us if we move from success to success. It proves that, hey, man, I'm doing well. I'm all good. A therapist had in their front office lobby, they literally said, would you rather be right or well? A lot of times we work so hard to justify ourselves. Our ego gets into the way. We need to justify ourselves. Somehow it makes us feel better. And I should say, as we get older in the Lord and we get closer to Christ, it should become easier for us to say, you know what, I was not doing you well. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Even if it's like 25% your fault, as we're closer to the Lord, we're able to humbly just say, you know what, yeah, would you forgive me? Boy, that's so important. But ego will block us from that. It's a roadblock to resolving anger. Bruce Larson, in his book, There's a Lot More to Health Than Not Being Sick, said this, so much of our inability to say I was wrong stems from our need to be successful and to win. Most of us think that it proves that God is with us when we, as Christians, can go from success to success. And actually, most of us will fail more often than we succeed. And the real proof that God is with us is that we no longer have to defend our failures or pretend that we have succeeded. I think one of the major ills of the church is that we just want to come across as perfect and successful and Never admit to making mistakes. Sometimes it's just kind of helpful to just say, raise your hand and say, I made a mistake. Let's just try it here. You at home, if you see people around you, have you ever made mistakes? Just raise your hand. How about you? And yeah, just go ahead. It's healthy, isn't it, to confess? The rest of you can now raise your hand because you just lied in church. Oh, I'm sorry. But it's important for us to just say we do make mistakes. That's why sometimes friends don't even want to join a life group here because they realize that, man, here I'm pouring my whole heart out. And the next person, hey, how is it going in your life? Are you okay? Oh, yeah, man, everything's good. And they realize not everybody is always so perfect, but be transparent. Boy, God redeems our failures. That's the beauty of it. That's when he gets all the glory and you realize, whoa, I'm so glad I came clean. So I've found that the Lord takes my failures and he puts it into a composite and it becomes something like a cleaner where it starts to flourish in my life once again. Second thing, blaming others. That's always a blockade as well. One innovative psychologist said this, of the many people that come into my counseling offices, the ones that I label as near hopeless are the ones who blame other people for their failings. So when we blame others, it becomes a habit. We can't resolve things because it's the other person. I did nothing wrong. Hey, wasn't it the way it was in the original garden? All of a sudden, God came and Adam, did you really do this? Hey, it's the woman you gave me, God. It was your fault. You set me up with this babe. And then God goes to Eve. Eve, is this true? Well, it was the serpent. He tricked me. I was innocent. So we shift things around. And so usually we'll say, man, I'm going to blame it's my upbringing. Oh, no, I'm Irish. Oh, no, it's my wife. Or God forbid, it's the pastor. We just got to be careful about that, how that is. So God doesn't come to condemn us. He really wants to come to resolve and bring forgiveness. So important. So important. And may the Lord help us that you're not blaming me even for this message right now. How's that? Is that all right, huh? Okay, good. Third thing, self-pity. Self-pity will be a roadblock to resolving anger and even relationships. Because oftentimes, self-pity is a self-inflicted wound. It really is a bottomless pit. There is no end to how a person can slump to say, oh, I'm miserable. I'm a nobody. Nobody's going to want me. I can't do anything right. You know, pity is really just focus all on yourself. Compassion is pity properly placed. Remember when Jesus had compassion on the multitudes and he did something about it? He healed them. So we take a look at that. Self-pity is really a pit. Be careful about that. God's redeemed us. Man, we have purpose. You are not here by accident. You're not watching today by accident. That is not an accident. You have a purpose. We have a purpose to gather around the word of the Lord today. You have a purpose to be a part of a fellowship. It's so significant. We may not tell you often enough how important your role is, but it is important. I don't talk about my liver. Anybody hear me talk about my liver or my lungs or my kidneys? No. But I'll tell you, if I go without them, I'm done for. We need you. We need you. It's important for us. Let's take a look at three ways we release anger. And let me just highlight the first two are not right. They're wrong. Number one, we venting our anger outside of us. Now you say, well, hey, I thought it's okay to kind of express my anger. Well, problem is when we vent it, we just let it go like a volcano. You might say, well, I feel better now that I've kind of like let it be known. But you take a look at your relatives that are cut up, bleeding, and bruised on the floor. You say, well, get up. Everything's fine now. Well, they're injured and ruined. It just kind of ruins all of our relationships, both horizontally and vertically. We have to be careful. Fruit of the Spirit's so significant for us, isn't it? It's like, Lord, maybe I should fast, have better control of my emotions and my reactions. Second wrong way is we stuff our anger inside of us. Self Control is different than stuffing it inside. When we're self-control, we're kind of plotting our way how to move in a direction objectively. When we stuff it, boy, it's like our body's just affected by it. Somebody once said, when I suppress my anger, my stomach keeps score. We have to be careful how we're going to go ahead and press that. The American Medical Association asked thousands of medical practitioners. They asked them, of your practice, how many people who come into your offices would you say you legitimately help through medicine and through treatments? And they said really probably about 25%. That means 75% of people realistically really don't get properly treated. How do you treat them, they were asked. Well, usually tranquilizers or Valiums. What would you want to do, they asked those physicians. Said if we weren't so pushed to meet our quota with patients, we'd love to spend an hour with each patient and ask them about their family, ask them about their job, ask them about their situation of hurts or pains, and just let somebody hear from them. So we want to take a look now at number three. The right way is to resolve our anger. Resolve our anger. And here's some right ways that we're going to pursue in these days ahead, but let me list them for you. Right ways to resolve anger in a 24-hour period. Remember, it says, be angry, don't sin when you're angry, and don't let the sun go down on your wrath, and don't give an open invitation for the works of darkness. Number one, report true reasons why you are angry. Report that. To who? To the person that hurts your feelings. To the person that hurts you. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 says, moreover, when your brother sins against you, who did he sin against? Against you. Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. You and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother back. There's a reconciliation. You and him alone. Oftentimes, people get hurt. They never go and approach the person. They violate scripture. I've had to sit down and say, hey, why are you taking that little stink pile and wave it around everywhere? It's kind of like the onion in the refrigerator. You know it's been there 5 years because when you open the door, whoosh, oh, man. Because a lot of times, people have that ninja turtle syndrome. They're that silent sufferer. You can hear them, you know, they're internalizing everything. Get it out. Go talk it over with that person. That's what the scripture is addressing. So important to share that. I love it when my wife or family come and say, Dad, you know, when you did it that way, it really hurt my feelings. Well, I don't like being told I was wrong, but what it tells me is that they're sharing their value system with me. This is something that's important to them. What they value or what they don't value. I need to hear that. You need to hear that. You do an injustice to those you know to withhold that information. Number two, think through options to correct the problem. That's important for us. Don't go without a lot of options. What does that mean? Well, remember doing yard work one day? I knew we had one can of soda in the refrigerator. I was looking forward to that can of soda. I go into the refrigerator. It's gone. Honey, where's that can of soda? Well, sweetie, I divvied it up among the children. Oh. And then she came up with an option. What? Well, there's orange juice in there. Well, that wasn't quite. But it was an option. You know what I mean? If you don't have options, man, you kind of burn inside. It's the only job. That's the only one I wanted. It's kind of like a child. You ever say, it's mine. And so we have to be careful about that. So husbands, if your wife burns the toast, think through the options. You could use that chip as a little barrier and just fill in the hole in one of the walls, or use it to mend one of your shoes, or just think through the options. It's important for us that we deal with those areas. Don't run out of options. Number three, let me move along here a little bit. Keep a sense of humor. You're going to work through anger. You're going to make a resolution to resolve anger Don't lose a good sense of humor. Missionary in the Philippines was pulled off the field after a year and a half, ruined ministry. He was asked by a group of up-and-coming missionaries, what would you do differently? He said, I'd take a couple of books of jokes. I would not lose my humor. I was so bent on everything being done right that I was crushed when I saw people didn't show up or people kept sinning. I was so bent on seeing if they sinned or not, I didn't really consider that they're still serving God. Focus on people serving God in your home, not on failures or even sinning. You'll become critical. You'll become really where you come and you just are condemning people. Watch out. Be careful. I remember our church in Banning. I wanted everything so perfect, so perfect. My mother was coming to be in our church. And then it came time to gather the offering. Here comes one of the head ushers. And in those days, he had cloth diapers, and he had this massive safety pin right on his fly. And I thought, oh, well, I just started chuckling. And at lunch, we were laughing about that. It's like, but that's the way it was. You just keep a good sense of humor. And let me just move on just a little bit. Number four, make a no-hurt contract. That's important for us. Galatians, so clear, chapter 5. No hurt contract. You will share your heart, but you will not hurt each other, both physically or even verbally. Ephesians 4:29 says it so clearly, where it says that we will let no corrupt word proceed out of our mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. No hurt contract. Number five, do not use ultimatums. Watch out about all. What is an ultimatum? It's like, hey, if you do that again, it's over between us. Wow. You paint yourself in a corner when you come up with an ultimatum. I had a young man come up to me. I said, why did you run away from home? He said, well, my stepdad said, if you can't straighten up, get out of the house. And I knew, he said, I could not straighten up, so I left home. Boy, those ultimatums are terrible. No ultimatums. And six, finally, know who the real enemy is. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Be careful about that. 1 Peter 5:8 says, you have an adversary. You have an enemy. So I just want to remind you, remember, and it's going to help us when we move into handling conflict. Remember who the real enemy is. That means nobody you see is your enemy. Nobody at home is your enemy. Nobody, in a physical sense, is your enemy. I love it, finally, when we just see in situations when there's tension, and some man of God stands up, some woman of faith stands up and says, stop, the devil is trying to tear us apart here. It's like, oh, come on, you're getting all kind of spiritual. Yeah, but it's true. The devil is at work here. Let's pray. Let's bring in God's peace. Let's bring in the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So Matthew 5, 22 through 24, first go, be reconciled to your brother. Then come on back. God will bring it to your attention, those that you just know are needing your assistance. You be that man or woman of faith. Often say the most mature Christian will make the first move. Are you that person? Are you that person? Say, I'm going to trust God and do it the Lord's way and bring a resolution to resolve anger between us. Boy. Well, I want to thank you, and I'm going to lead you in prayer right now. And for you who are here, let's let the Holy Spirit seal those things in our heart. Father, we want to thank you for your goodness. That, Lord, we all know what it is when it's happy days where there's rest and peace. But Lord, for those of us that are finding we're at odds with others, we're developing tension and we're not sleeping well. Lord, move upon our hearts even now. We thank you, Almighty God, for sending Jesus, the great mediator between God and us, to bring peace. Lord, for those who do not have that peace with you, Lord, we pray, speak to their hearts now and say, Jesus, I need you. Lord, wash my sins away. Come into my life. Help me to fulfill the will and the word of God. Lord, we pray peace over the homes that are watching, peace over the relationships that are here. You be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for watching today. And so many of you have just gotten a hold of us and said, hey, we'd like to partner or be a part of ministry that we've received much from. Hang on there. I'll meet with you in a moment to show you ways that you can be a part of the ministry here. Thank you for joining us. Let me just pray you off that blessing of Numbers 6:24, where God says, priests, pray this blessing over my people. And it says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to come upon you and be gracious to you, which means the favor of the Lord. The Lord cause his countenance to come upon you and give you peace. God bless you. Thanks for joining us here at Hope Chapel today. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.